Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can always, if you're old-fashioned like me, go to your desktop and stream us live at www.guardiantalkradio.com. Go to the website, click on the link. Or else, if you are much more 21st century than I am and walk around with your smartphone, you can download the app called Tune In and listen to Guardian Radio all day. I have two artists in the studio with me tonight, and we are here to speak about the ongoing Double Dutch program, which is a series of shows the NAGB has been doing for about 3 years now, in which we bring together a Bahamian artist with an artist from the region or diaspora to create an exhibition which speaks to issues that we encounter in the region. The idea was to try to have artists speaking to other artists, because as island nations, not just the Bahamas, but so many of us are really kind of cut off from each other. And there's so much creativity in the region that we really wanted to try to encourage this network and collaboration. So I have two ladies in the studio tonight, Dee Dee Brown, who many of you have met. Good evening, Dee Dee.
Good evening, Amanda.
And Dee Dee is Bahamian from Grand Bahama, right?
Born in Grand Bahama, raised in Nassau.
Based in Nassau, but I remember that. I remember you and Dylan were both born in Grand Bahama. And then we also have Joydy Minaya, who was born in the Dominican Republic.
No, I was born in New York.
Oh, born in New York.
Yeah.
Raised in the Dominican Republic.
I was raised in the Dominican
Republic. So you're two. You're both. You're Dominican and
Dominican American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you find a lot of people get confused between Dominica and
Dominica. And actually, I hadn't heard that before until the recent hurricane when people were like asking me my family was okay because Dominica did really bad. I was like, we're okay. We had a little damage, but like, we're not Dominica, so it's not us.
I think that really confused people. Yeah. I think that really confused people. Yeah. So Dee Dee, again, many of you know, she's a local artist who's been mostly here and was at Pop-Up Studios for a really long time and then did a little stint in Switzerland and came back again. And I know that you weren't planning to stay that long, but you ended up, what's going on? Like, it turns out you got so busy that, so why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing this last year?
Dylan and I returned from Switzerland last September, and I don't know, you know, something in the water, I guess. Lots of different jobs, and I'm interdisciplinary, so I also do a lot of photography work, and so that started to really preoccupy my time as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been bouncing between those jobs and then some other commercial projects as well.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's really interesting for people listening to know, because that's one of the questions I get from a lot of locals and a lot of parents too, like, oh, how are they going to make a living? And obviously it would be awesome if you could just make a living just doing your artistic practice. But I think you're one of those artists, and there's others like Jessica Colebrook, who has her whole pottery, you know, her where she does the tiles and the cups and the teacups and all kinds of things. And then she also has her artistic practice, and somehow she's been able to create a life out of these different kind of forms. How do you juggle that? Is it difficult for you to switch gears somehow? Like when you go back to the studio and you have to work on a purely artistic project, is it difficult for you to switch gears like that, or do they feed each other at all?
It's a bit of both. Like sometimes it's more difficult than other times, but I also think it's beneficial for me because it allows me to move away from my artistic practice and give myself that breathing room, because I feel it. If I was just consumed by it all the time, I might just get frustrated and hit dead end. So it allows me that space, so then I can kind of come back and view the work and oh, I need to do this differently or change that. So, you know, and I've been self-employed since 2010, so I've got a bit of practice at it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it hard to do that? What was your main source of income? I mean, how was that split to make that decision to just kind of... Because I think, again, that's something a lot of artists struggle with, right, is can I support my family? Can I support myself if I really just dedicate myself to this one thing? Like, was there something that led you to that moment where you're like, you know, okay, enough of this. I just have to commit to myself. And how was that transition for you?
So I graduated from SCAD in 2006. Mm-hmm. I moved to Atlanta because my sister and brother-in-law were living there. And I did try to get a job as an interior designer. Mm-hmm. Went on several interviews, but nothing kind of worked out. So then I came home and I interviewed, and I managed to get a job with Alexio and Associates Architects,
who are building our amphitheater right now.
Ah, so okay.
I didn't know that.
Small
okay,
world.
Well, small world, well,
yes.
Small island.
Exactly. Yeah. So I worked for them as an interior designer for 3 years, and funnily, when I started working for them, I met Dylan at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I never actually thought that I would be a fine artist. Mm-hmm. It was something I always dabbled at, but I kind of pursued interior design because it would give me a more structured career.
Yeah, or a steady income.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And so while I was working full time, I was also playing at my artistic practice with Dylan. And then we decided to join pop-up studios and, mm-hmm. you know, made work and did all of that in our free time, mm-hmm. started having shows. And then there was the call for... the airport, because mm-hmm. we were doing all of those mm-hmm. Projects. So I made a submission, which I think was very influenced by my interior design practice, mm-hmm. you know, just understanding the space and creating this sculpture of birds mm-hmm. to fit in this across these two walls. And then, you know, so that project, I think, really allowed me to move away from my 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And I subsequently also started doing photography mm-hmm. while mm-hmm. I was still working there. Started with like family.
So it's
pictures.
All kind of quite new, really, because I remember the airport project was being installed or being created really when I moved home. And so that was 6 years ago.
2013.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it went over several years. So 2010, like that just enabled me to make the move into being freelance mm-hmm. and I haven't looked back.
Well, I guess it sort of gave you the confidence somehow, like I can do this, I can mm-hmm. do a big commission. And I think regular listeners to the show will know, because Dee Dee's been on to speak about the airport commission, but for those that don't know, if you're in the domestic departure terminal and getting a flight normally to one of the Family Islands, you go down the escalator and there are these two walls just covered with these amazing aluminum mm-hmm. Flamingos, and in all different states of there's some that are still in the egg and coming out mm-hmm. of the egg and flying, and mm-hmm. I don't know how they clean those things. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I always wonder that when I'm there.
I do check them when I go through. You know, some of them end up tilting, so I go and I fix them, but I do think that they're dusted quite regularly.
Has anyone ever gone up to you and be like, what are you doing touching the art?
No, actually. Because, you know, the space that it's located in, you're really moving through, you know, to go to your flight. So it's such a fast moment. Like, so many people don't even see them, which I also find very interesting.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's amazing. I suppose people are looking forward, right? I guess that's because I always look at, but I mean, I'm always sort of looking around. And
yeah. Well, I mean, it's the difference too, I think, between certain people who are like just into art and always looking for mm-hmm. it and seeing it, you know, in everything mm-hmm. and other people that just don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm actually like, I'm sure they wonder what I'm doing half the time. When I'm at the airport, I'm always taking pictures. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, look, John Cox, that's crooked. I've got to let him know.
Exactly.
And I'm always thinking like, do they think I'm like this really strange lady, like mm-hmm. trying to plan something? And so that was the big push to then go, so then how did you fall into photography? I mean, that's all, because that's really like a big part of your
absolutely of your so I'm trying to think now. So I started doing, you know, just family portraits, and then that moved on to, oh, someone saw those pictures, and mm-hmm. then that, you know, family turned into a friend of family, and mm-hmm. you know, it just kind of went from there. And a friend of Dylan and mine was getting married in 2009, and she asked me to do her wedding. And of course, I was like, absolutely not. That's like terrifying, too much pressure.
Yeah.
And she just convinced me to do it. And it was a really it was a great experience. And I really enjoyed
it. It's such a nice story, because it sounds like there's always been people really pushing you and supporting you and, you know, to sort of get into your creativity, which is really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that maybe, again, one of the things I find very hard here is that a lot of people assume art is a hobby. Mm-hmm. Art is something that artists do in their spare time, like you said, and that's also why they think it's okay to ask artists to like give them stuff for free. You know, can you put stuff in my office? Can you lend me this? And you're like, no, that cost money. Like, and sometimes people will ring me and say, oh, we're doing a charity event, and can you get 20 artists to donate a piece of work? And I always say, well, if you come back to me in 10 days or so and you have a free root canal at a dentist and maybe 3 hours of free legal work and a few other professions giving up their mm-hmm. very valuable and lucrative time to this thing, I'll be very happy to do that for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not just going to go to the artist every time. And I think part of that is because people feel that art is still something, again, that's like, it's not your main thing. So do you feel conflicted at all about being able to do that? Do you feel like maybe you're feeding into that by being able to, you know, again, you have to have another career, which many of us do,
mm-hmm.
Or do you just not care that much?
No, I mean, I do care at certain times. I think, like you said, I mean, you got to pick and choose your battles.
Yeah.
And it is a struggle at times, but it's also important to have that conversation with people and say to them, you know, look, this is actually my business. This is my practice. And, you know, I think if you can... be calm and try to have those conversations. Yeah,
it's because it happens to us too. Again, as art historians, you know, very often people are like, could you just write me a text?
Yeah,
you know, and you're like, okay, well, yeah. It's, you know, 50 cents a word,
yeah, exactly,
you know, or whatever
it
is.
Yeah.
But and people sometimes are taken aback by that, and you're like, no, this is, like you said, this is my craft. I went to university for this, and I got a master's degree, and you know, it took me some time to learn how to do that. It's not just. You just toss it off in your coffee hour, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So and did through photography, and now the pieces, I think, you know, at the end of the show, when I've had a chance to introduce everyone to Joy, we will talk more about the work in the show and what you're doing there. But I read that part of it, like, it's a sort of continuation of some of those pieces that we had in the NE8, these sort of heads with...
All the fragments coming out of them.
But I read that there was something pixelated about. There was some computer thing about that. Was that something you came to from photography? I have to read the thing. That there was a sort of element of 3D kind of incorporated tiled surfaces or something.
Yeah,
so was that something that you found in photography that you were able to kind of bring into the?
I think
it's a more sculptural work.
It's less from my photography and just more from my visual exploration. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a very visual person. I'm always going online and, you know, looking for different imagery and just, you know, patterns that interest me. And so, yeah, it's basically just a collection of like Marrakesh tiles patterns that I've like incorporated into the work to sort of represent like the idea that we're multifaceted and we have routine. And
see, I don't even know what a Marrakesh tile is. I have to be honest. I know, like, Joy is looking at me like, okay, good, she doesn't know either, because I actually read the text and I'm like, what's the XY axis, what? But you know, I'm super 1900s. I always admit that. I'm like, if I could just go back to my Philo facts, I'd be very happy. But I was just wondering whether, like, again, the different things you do in the course of your, you know, your paid professional life feed somehow your artistic practice.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. I mean, like, I guess I'm always, I don't know, I'm just drawn to, like, what I see and... trying to, guess, capture that in a particular way, you know, which can be really difficult. Trying to develop like a photography style has been very challenging, but I think that's why I keep at it, and it definitely feeds into my artwork, because I'm saying, like, how can I develop this? How can I make it different? And I think right now what I'm really trying to do is kind of merge from more of a two-dimensional work to three-dimensional.
Right. Yeah, and it's so hard now, I suppose, also for a photographer to find a really signature style, because everyone's a photographer, right?
Yeah.
So how do you make your, you know, how do you make yourself stand out in a way when everyone's got a super high-powered lens in their pocket, essentially? And how do you professionalize that to the extent that people... Also, that people can tell the difference, that you have to have such a signature style that people really see the difference... Even people that aren't trained to see between a professional photograph and, you know,
absolutely.
And that must be a really a challenge.
Yeah, it is. But I think that's why I keep at it, because if I felt like, you know, if I felt like I was good at it, then I don't know if I would, you know, still want to do it. Like, it's just always questioning yourself, I think, really kind of, that really pushes me to kind of keep on going.
Well, listen, it's so great. And I mean, I was so pleased when, you know, we ran into each other, because Dee Dee's studio is very close to my house. So we ran into each other. And originally you said, oh, yeah, we're going to try to do 6 months on and 6 months off. You know, we'll be in the Bahamas and then we'll be in Switzerland. And you were like, no, I'm staying, actually, because I'm so busy. And I was like, oh, that's so great. That's such good news to hear that an artist went away because maybe there was some frustration, or it was just, let's see what's out there. But that you're like, no, I'm going to stay. And there's enough to do here, and that, you know, you're being supported by the community to that you can stay and make a living and still have your practice. I think that's just amazing. And any young wannabe artist out there, I think that's a great thing to hear.
Yeah.
So yay.
Yay.
Yay. Awesome. For Dee Dee. So you've just been hearing from Dee Dee Brown, who is the Bahamian artist who is participating in the upcoming Double Dutch show, which is going to be opening actually on this Friday night. So in 2 days' time at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. The Double Dutch is a show where we bring a Bahamian artist in dialogue with a regional artist. And after the break, you're going to be hearing from Jordi Manaya, who is based in New York, but is also partly Dominican, from the Dominican Republic, not Dominica. And and American, and she's down to create the show Re-Encounter with Dee Dee that opens on Friday night. So we're going to go to a short break, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.